Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, whatever time you're listening to us. Welcome to the Rugby League Daily End of Season Podcast. It has been a while since I have introduced my trusted co-host, Callum Linford. We've both been mega busy this season. So without further ado, Callum, welcome. How are you doing, mate?
I'm not so bad, yourself?
I'm good, mate. I think we're one week after the rugby season's finished, and I'm already missing it like crazy. It's been a short year with COVID. But, you know, the seasons have been brought forward again. So I think we start the 30th of January, my team this year. So I can't wait to go back to it.
And mine for a change being promoted.
Congratulations. Well-deserved promotion as well.
No, it's more for, as you say, the people down there. You know, I mean, you know yourself being a... in at Halifax, you know, the amount of volunteers you've got down there. So it's definitely been one of them for them this season, especially with 5 weeks out during the middle of it, due to COVID, and then come back and make KP and then talk to him on for 3 weeks.
Exactly, mate. So we'll get cracking, and I must admit my knowledge on Super League is not as sparse as it's quite sparse compared to what it will be for the Championship and as yourself in League One. So we'll give it a go. So Super League, we had Catalan Dragons claiming their first ever League Leader Shield and just falling short in the playoff grand final against Saints. Overall, Callum, any standouts in Super League and give your assessment of the season as a whole?
Probably Hull KR.
100% agree.
You know, as you say, we're not Super League-y people. We don't watch it very often. Well, I tend to watch it when I can. But you know, as a neutral, it was quite often the case of wanting KR to win the matches and to go through. I mean, just touching on the grand final, I think Catalans were unlucky not to win it. I mean, I'm not a St Helens fan or a Catalans fan by any stretch, but how on earth that isn't a penalty try in the corner, that is beyond belief. You know, I mean, if he doesn't get clattered around the top of the head, he's going to score the try.
Well, you see, I still sit on the fence about that, and you know, I might get some grief for this, but he was going for airtime, and with the spectacular finish, when you're in the air in the corner, the element of it is still quite a 50-50 in whether you can put the ball down and keep your body in touch. So I can see them not being 100% certain you could score that try. And you know, for me, a penalty try is not needed in that situation, because you can't guarantee you to put the ball down if the tackle was below the head.
Well, to be fair, in one sense, that's the one as well. But no, it's... Yeah, OK, the surprise package, I think, as well, because we said it either at the start of the season or partway through, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but we said how robotic Super League had got. You know, it was five drives and a hoof. And, you know, I think OKR brought that excitement factor. You know, you never knew what they were going to do, whether it was the first tackle, the fifth, the fourth, whatever. They would throw it around, they'd put a chip chase on, or, you know, miss three men out with a loop over pass. So, no, to me, OKR were the surprise package and the value for Super League this season. And the three-peat, as they're all calling it, St. Helens, probably did in the end deserve to win the Super League final.
Yep. I'm still very much on the fence with Super League and the fact that a playoff determines who wins it overall. I think, you know, boiling it down to a one-off game is exciting for the fans. It's, you know, it's a brilliant atmosphere at Old Trafford. It's such an occasion, and it, you know, it brings many neutrals to the game to watch it. But ultimately for me, and I will always say it, the team that finishes top after playing everyone home and away, obviously we lost that aspect this year with Catalan being French, but they still won Super League. In my eyes, they won the League Leader Shield. They were the best after everyone had played, and very, very unlucky to lose in the grand final. But it shows, again, on the flip side, that expansion is finally starting to come to fruition. Obviously, we'll touch on the promoted team when we review the Championship. But, you know, France is, you know, they have 15 players on the books at Catalan that are French-born and nationality, so you can't whinge that they're full of Australians and English players. They've done it. I mean, Arthur Morgan is one heck of a talent to watch.
Come on, it's RT, surely.
Yeah, well, I don't have, I'm not quite illiterate with the French pronunciation, so I'll call him Arthur because I'm from Yorkshire.
I'm from Cumbria, we can barely speak English. Come on.
yeah, what a talent. And they've been a pleasure to watch with Catalan, and Hull KR have also been, yeah, my surprise package. So we'll flip it around and we'll go to the bottom end of Super League. Lee Centurions coming down. Is that much of a surprise given the fact that they were 800 grand down on budget in terms of every other club? They were thrown into Super League with mini licensing. Does it surprise you that Lee come down?
In all fairness to every single Lee supporter that listens to this, even if they'd gone up on a fair playing field with the same amount of money, I still think they'd have been wiped the floor with. Purely and simply because, and I think it was one of the pundits that maybe said it, they've got the same problem that Catalan used to have. They've got the bullying tactic.
Yeah.
You can get away with that in the championship when you're big and you're strong and you train 5 times a week and this and that and the other, but you get found out in Super League.
Yeah.
And I think that was the case. I mean, to be fair, again, they played some good stuff. Some of the score lines were a bit harsh on them at times, but no, there's no surprise for me, to be honest.
Yeah, same here, mate. I've got a lot of admiration for Lee in a sense of they've gone up and they were on the unlevel playing field from day one, and I think it took them, I can't even remember how many weeks it took them, but at one stage it looked like they'd finished Super League without a win, and I thought that'd have been a bit harsh. And they have the ability to play some attractive rugby. They definitely did. I remember watching them in round one. I think they played Wigan, and they bloody didn't have put them to the sword, and just fell short again in the last 10 minutes. The difference in class, I think, Super League wise, I think if you get up there and you stay up there, and you get that second season under your belt, there's a new team come up. In order to stay in Super League, you have to do well in that first year, even if you just nick staying up by goal difference. The experience you'll gain from playing one solid year as a Super League team will stand you only better off in the second.
Well, look, you just
So,
have to look at London Broncos, and they went and won 10 matches and still got relegated.
yeah, I'll give Super League its due where it is there. The competition in Super League has really stepped up its game this year. I don't think when we did the predictions at the beginning of the year, we put Catalan anywhere near the top three, let alone first. Or a grand final. So, and Hull KR, I think we had them down as relegation fodder. So we were proved wrong. Super League, from what I've seen, has been a delightful competition this year. And hopefully, long may it continue. It is the pinnacle of English rugby. It's the top tier. And we want to make it more exciting and get new teams to the grand final, new teams lifting the big trophy at the end of the year.
I think as well
Every
to be more attractive for the sponsors as well, the sponsors
Yes.
need something to look at rather than, and people that don't watch rugby league on a regular basis will know where I'm sit I'll know where I'm coming from here when I say, 26 fellas hoying a bag of air around.
Yeah.
The need to, you see football and you get people like sort of Messi and Ronaldo getting 400 grand a week and it's like, well, yeah, they're only kicking a ball around, but it's the ability to do things with that ball that gets them that money.
Yes. Completely agree. So we shall move on to what has been the most up and down year I have ever witnessed in the championship, aside from your top two. The top two we both predicted correctly at the beginning of the year. I remember doing the podcast. We had to lose, and we have Fev.
We did, yeah.
To lose didn't lose a game of rugby league. They played every game away from home. They played their first home game in the playoffs. To be able to travel over to a country in COVID terms and win convincingly every time they played the game was nothing simple of quite amazing to watch. And you'll get the people saying, well, they didn't play all the games because no one could go to them. It's a part-time league, you know. You can't ask the players to go to France because then when they come back, you know, at times they have to self-isolate, and you know that has stopped them from working. So not playing in Toulouse was the right call to make from the RFL. They thoroughly deserved to finish in the playoffs at least. You know, I think Featherstone Rovers have had a fantastic year, as much as it pains me to say it.
It's a good job this is recorded, you know, you saying that.
They have, and you can't look past it. They have head and shoulders a better squad than anyone below them.
Yeah, oh,
People
massively.
like Craig Hall and New Brown, Brett Ferris, as much as I can't stand them, they are big, strong fellas. And every time I watched a Fev game or the highlights, it was so apparent that they were bigger, stronger, and fitter. And that's including when they played my team. They can do magical things with the ball. And I had them to go up. I thought they'd beat Toulouse in a one-off at the beginning of the year. But again, it became very apparent to me as the season got further in that Featherstone wouldn't topple Toulouse because Toulouse are just a class above.
They're just a different animal, aren't they? But no, I think in terms of the surprises and whatnot in the championship, obviously, first the surprise value in the good sense would be, and again, as you say, you know, this is going to pain me something terrible, is Whitehaven by a country mile. You know, I've done a lot of work for the local media during this season, hence why we haven't done many of these podcasts. But and a couple of my matches were Whitehaven's championship fixtures, and you could just tell, you know, Gary Charlton had done what Gary Charlton does very, very well. He'd gone round with his wooden stick and knocked 7 bells out of them all before the match started, and told them how he wanted it done, and told them not to come back into the changing rooms until it was done. And you know, credit to them, they did it that way.
Yeah,
You
they.
know, but the flip side of the coin, the shock factor, in the bad sense to me in the championship's been York this season. What on earth is happening there? They've spent money for man and dog, and at one stage were looking as if they were going down at one point.
Yeah, well, I honestly would love to give you an answer, and I'm sure Fordy would love to give you an answer. A team full of aging individuals is how I described them at the beginning of the year, and I think I was pretty bob on in that assessment. It was a team full of Super League caliber players that couldn't do it anymore, and they expected to come down into the Championship and have an easier ride. But I have said it time and time again, the Championship is much more physical than Super League. It's slower, it's
Because
sloppier.
probably.
But it is Christ Almighty, one heck of a game in terms of physical battles, and coming down from Super League and expecting that easier ride probably shocked a few York players. And they've got to get recruitment right this year, York, if they're to come back again, because I think another season finishing outside of playoffs, you then start questioning Ford and. You know, is he the right man for the job at York? They've got a lovely new stadium. Hopefully, if you want to attract new fans to fill that stadium, you're going to need to play some good rugby. And they did it sparsely last year.
Well, this is it, you know. I mean, credit to them. I mean, I watched the game, God, against Wigan in the Challenge Cup that was on, the Sportsman when they played them at the new stadium. It was their unveiling, and you thought, geez, this York side's going to be okay. You know, they took Wigan fairly close for all things considered. And then, you know, I watched them at the Recre, well, sorry, the LEL Arena, against Whitehaven, and it was as if they literally turned up and played that Wigan side again, because Whitehaven just absolutely bell rung them all over, you know, all over the park. I mean, there's a couple of, obviously, I mean, they've got a couple of brilliant halfbacks, or they did have a couple of brilliant halfbacks, in Louis Jouffre and Nicol Williams, the latter still staying. But they just booted them all up, not physically, obviously, you know, but they just kicked them to death in terms of their game management when they turned the ball over, Whitehaven, they were turning the ball over in their terms, you know, and York just for the Cuthbertsons and for the, you know, for the Ryan Atkinses and the Ben Jones Bishops, they turned up devolved of any sort of idea. Now, you cannot, you know yourself, go to Whitehaven, Barrow, or even me at work, and you can't come to these sort of places and not have a solid plan and know what you're going to do.
Exactly. I completely agree. They've announced the signing of Liam Harris from Halifax. You know, he's going there, younger, fresher into the halves. I've seen him. You know, he's been quite the standout performer when he's been playing well. For fact, he's single-handedly won us
Well,
games. He's
he
in.
beat he beat Whitehaven effectively 4 years, didn't he?
Yeah, he beat Whitehaven in the playoffs. He beat Batley away when we were injury struck and still on in the midst of that 9-game winning streak. He's got a hat trick in the second half. So, yeah, I think they've got a good coup there, and he's got a good relationship with Fordy. So hopefully we'll see York challenging, because the more teams that are challenging, it just makes for an exciting prospect in Championship.
Well, it does, and I mean sticking with the championship, then we'll go with those that's come down from Super League and Lee, and the two that's come up from League One, Barrow and Workington. How do you fancy then their three chances in potentially doing something in the league? Do you think Lee are going to be a shoo-in for Super League again next season, and will
Well,
Barrow and Workington be on the drop back down to the champ League One?
we have a very short. I remember when Lee went up and they come back down and then they finished. I think at the time it was still to get into the top four to play in the eighth. They finished sixth in the league and completely missed out. And then they had to rebuild again. When you come down from Super League, you know, the aim is to go straight back up. And
I
I
think the
think.
only thing he's done that's Hull KR, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think when Lee start announcing signings and retentions, only then we will see the caliber of squad they've got. But for me, yes, it's between Lee and again Featherstone to go up to Super League. Barrow, I see the out of the two teams that have come up from Cumbria, I see Barrow having the more comfortable of year due to the fact that they've got money. They'll be able to sign and spend well. Workington might not have the funds or a big budget, but one thing that club does have in abundance from, you know, I've watched them quite a bit this year through getting to know you and stuff. One thing they've got in abundance is heart, and they have got one heck of a coach. And if there's any team to, you know, stay in there and be in a dogfight with to stay up, Workington will be there. I can see both Barrow and Worky staying up this year, and it's just a toss of a coin then of who goes down. Whitehaven have got a big bill of players gone. Obviously, Halifax have just announced a signing of their protege, I'd call him, Lachlan Walmsley. Louis Jouffre is rumoured to well, he's definitely left. He's been rumoured to a lot of clubs. Halifax again being one, or going back to France, but either way, they've lost a brilliant player. They've got to
In
start.
fairness, with Lachlan Walmsley, if you play, I've seen him a few times, and you know, without blowing smoke up the kid's rear end here, if he plays anything like what he plays like at Whitehaven for Halifax, you've got the league's probably got the league's top scorer there, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Because some of the he can literally score from, it's as if somebody's put a rocket and attached it to his rear end, because he takes off and it's like a jumbo jet. He can go from 10 meter line.
Yeah, he lands over the try line, doesn't
Yeah, he's got trampoline boots on, but no, it's going to be interesting, as you say there. But I mean, we can't do a predictions yet. We'll do that later in the year, start of next year potentially.
Yeah.
But it would just be nice to be in the championship and not have that fear of, oh my God, we're going to be playing in League One again next season. But I think, especially under somebody like Chris Thorman as well, he may have one or two tricks up his sleeve there that none of us certainly know about at the moment.
I think I'd agree with you. I don't think you should worry too much about about the possibility of relegation. The possibility's there, of course. You've just come up, yet to announce any signings, I believe. So just see how you recruit. I know you've lost a couple, two championship teams. Is it Brad Holroyd or something?
Yeah, Brad Holroyd's gone to Widnes from working. You know, fair credit to the kid. He lives in Widnes. He works in Widnes, you know. And he was coming up on the in the car, you know, starting work at 5 in the morning and getting back home at midnight on training days.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't blame him. Deco O'Donnell, Irish international hooker, from Lee to Workington, to Ottawa, back to Workington, and now he's gone to London. So, again, no, you can't blame him either. You know, the big city and things. I certainly wouldn't blame anybody for going from a small town in the West Coast to the capital of Britain for the chance of doing something that you like doing, you know. So fair play to him in that sense.
No, exactly. And then we shall swiftly move on to League One. What a year. A short one, albeit, but, you know, it's had its twists, it's had its turns, it's probably had, you know, like you said earlier, Workington had 5 weeks off due to COVID restrictions, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's had a bit of everything from what I've seen in League One this year. And, you know, some of the games that have been on our league, especially in the playoffs, Keighley, Workington, you know, Doncaster, Keighley the week after. Incredible games of rugby, and what an advert it is for the, essentially the bottom professional tier of the game. It's thrown up quite the audience, I believe, on our league. And Barrow standout winners, deservedly so. Possibly, arguably, if it was the other way around and they had 5 weeks off because of COVID, would they be going automatically up? Probably not. So, toss of a coin, really. I think Workington deserved to win the playoffs. They couldn't help the fact that COVID was around and they didn't get the shot to play Barrow twice. What a year it's been, though. Give me your assessments on League One as a whole, your surprise package, the teams that have come up, the teams that have not played so well, finished bottom. And, yeah, just sum it up for me, please.
Well, put it this way, I've never been on blood pressure tablets in my life.
Yeah.
And that league season was very, very close to getting a lot of us at work and put on blood pressure tablets, I'll tell you. You know, you go from the golden point penalty against Keighley to the on the hoot to try against Rochdale that won that match, the heartache of being 24-0 down at Barrow, 22-0 down at Barrow, to then scoring 24 unanswered points to go 22-24 up, to then get a penalty against you with a minute left on the clock. A first win at Keighley in 7 years, you know. Where'd you start? And that's just working. You know, you've got, you know, you've got North Wales Crusaders there that went on the best ever run as a club. You know, and I mean, when I say they beat us at Durham Park, they absolutely dismantled Workington at Durham Park. And whether you're in Super League, the Championship, or League One, there is very, very few teams that come to Workington and dismantle that club. I would go as far as to say that was the best team performance by a club against Town at Derwent Park since probably Featherstone in the Championship when they beat us by 76 points to 6.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people say, oh, well, Hunslet beat you by nearly as many. We were our own worst enemies against Hunslet.
Yeah.
We genuinely couldn't do a thing about Crusaders. They were unreal that day, you know, and to come, as you say, they're from Wrexham to work it, and anybody that has done that, you know, will know it is a dog slog of a trek, you know, and to come fresh on the morning, and like I say, the forwards, they just dominated. Rob Masson, you know, can't speak highly enough of him. He's the leading try scorer in League One there with T. Richardson joint on 22 tries apiece. And again, that takes some doing because we didn't even have 20 games in League One this season. Exactly. You know, so that takes some doing. I mean, we can talk about Brad Holroyd and everybody else all night long, but Surprise package for me probably was, in the good sense, North Wales Crusaders. The potential flop of the season for me would be Rochdale not making the playoffs. Now, you can argue that they were hard done by Barrow, having a man sent off for a tackle that was later deemed not even sin bin sufficient by the match committee. And then playing 13 minutes extra time before Barrow actually scored the winner. You can say that work it my hard done by, because Barrow lent West Wales Raiders half a dozen amateur players from Milham and Walney Island to complete the last match of the season to make sure they went up automatically. But it's he said, she said at the end of the day, but no, surprise package for me, definitely West Wales, beg your pardon, North Wales Crusaders. Brilliant, brilliant setup. When we beat them down there 50 points to 16, when there was no crowds allowed in down in Wales, you thought, yeah, it's going to be another one of these. We're going to do something, but don't. Then Doncaster put 70 on them, and after Doncaster put 70 on them, they didn't lose a match.
Well, that's one heck of a run, isn't it?
And you thought when they come up here, you thought, ah, yeah, the knock team's over, but nobody comes to Derwent Park and wins easy. And then they say they were 18-6 up at half time, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's the one.
Yeah, they certainly did, didn't they? Put on a show. I'd agree, yeah, definitely the Crusaders, a surprise package in the good sense of things. It's a toss-up between Hunslet and Rochdale for me, not making playoffs. I'd probably go with Rochdale. I'd lean more towards Rochdale due to the fact Hunslet, if anything, have been the most inconsistent top-end team in League One for years.
Well, they have,
Yeah,
they really have.
I remember you convincing me to watch, to pay the money to watch the hourly coverage of Rochdale of Hunslet versus Workington in round one, and all I saw from them was big props that were knackered after 5 minutes. And Foreman on the day got it tactically spot on. He knew to play off the back of that, and tactically, for large periods of the game, you did dismantle Hunslet and everything they had, and many other teams cottoned on to that. But no, Rochdale, with the roster they've got, the squad of players, they should have been looking to comfortably make the playoffs, and they didn't. So
Well, I
for
think
me,
I even said at the start of the season that Rochdale would beat Workington in the playoff final.
yeah, they didn't even make it there. So yeah,
No, it shows me. Don't
2021 as a whole, across all three tiers, you can sit back and whinge that your team didn't do it. My team lost, got hammered against one of our worst rivals in the semi-finals of the playoffs. But I stand back, and sometimes I still pinch myself in the fact that I was able to be there and watch it. Everything was up in the air. I'm so grateful that we got our sport back. And
Yeah, no, fair point.
by God, did it perform this year, and I just can't wait to get going. So everyone that's been to games, or anyone that's new to rugby league, stick with it. 2022 will be another banging year. And on that note, I am going to end it and go for a beer because it's my day off.
Well, now then, definitely no, but we do have as well the 2022 World Cup that was supposed to be this year, so stay tuned for updates on that from the Rugby League World Cup committee. But it's from a very jubilant still Workington fan and a not so jubilant potentially Halifax fan. It is au revoir, goodbye, and we will see you in the new year.
We will.
Take care, people.
You too, Matt.